From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. Wow, do we have a lot of ground to cover. And by the way, want to welcome our brand new affiliate in the great state of Oklahoma, Guymon, Oklahoma, by the way, and one of the biggest radio stations in America. By the way, they actually, and this is what's fascinating about the Big Talker, they actually cover five states with their signal, KGYN. Owned by our good friends at Steckline Communications. We're also honored to be on their Wichita station, KQAM, great radio station there. We love our friends all over the heartland of the United States. And all of that to say, welcome if you are listening to us on AM 1210, 106.3 FM. And if you call in today on the radio program, here's what's going to happen. We're going to send you a welcome to the show prize package, a signed autographed copy of one of my brand new books, and also one of our awesome Gulf of America postcards. So I want you to call in today, be a part of the program, and let us give you an opportunity to say welcome to the National Radio Show. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And we'll be taking your calls throughout the day. Well, a lot to get started. But, of course, you know, we celebrate here on the Todd Starnes radio program. We love to celebrate the major holidays. And so happy Earth Day, America. We've got Dieter outside, and he's revving the engines in the Ford F-150 there in the parking lot of the station. Wow, the news bunker. It's Earth Day, and I'm getting all of these messages. I'm driving around all over Memphis, and they've got the big Earth Day signs out. And it reminded me, we haven't talked about Al Gore in a very long time. Of course, Al Gore, who was sort of the prophet of the climate change hoax. And ladies and gentlemen, and across the heartland, our new listeners, we do believe in climate change. It's simply called summer, spring, fall, and winter. Those are the climates. So if you're talking about climate change, yeah, that's what we're talking about. But we're not buying into all of this global warming garbage out there. You might recall, and this is a wonderful time on this Earth Day, to remind you that it was Al Gore who once predicted that the Kilimanjaro National Park in Tanzania was going to be no more. There would be no more snows on Kilimanjaro. And we know that because Al Gore wrote that in his book called An Inconvenient Truth. You know, I remember years ago, when I was at Fox News Channel, and we had a massive blizzard strike New York City, people were without power. It was cold in New York City. And you know why it was cold in New York City?
Oh, I know. Because of the climate change?
No, because it was winter, and it was a blizzard. It was like 3 below 0 or something. Winds howling. It was terrible. And people didn't know what to do. And all the people in my leftist neighborhood were freaking out. And they didn't know what to do. And I remember I was trudging to the local market. And it was all the conversation. People, they looked like these little Russian peasant people. I had never seen anything like it. I mean, they were wearing blankets and scarves and mittens and the whole nine yards. And they're like, what do we do? What do we do, Todd? What do we do? And I said, fear not. By the way, I was also in charge of Neighborhood Watch. I was the only member of the National Rifle Association in my entire neighborhood. And I said, don't worry about it. I said, do you have a copy of Al Gore's book called An Inconvenient Truth? And many of them had like 7 or 8 copies. I mean, at the time, it was the only thing that people were talking about. That's the only thing they were talking about is The Inconvenient Truth written by Al Gore. And people didn't know. They were hoarding copies. And I said, here's what you do. I said, you rip out the pages and you get a lighter and you use that as a fire starter. That's what you do with Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth book. I'm not sure they did that, but they should have, because that's all it was worth. Now, Al Gore went through and he made all of these predictions. The seas were going to rise, that we would not have an eastern seaboard anymore. Miami would be underwater. None of this ever happened. As a matter of fact, if you really want to know, if you want to understand the whole climate change hoax, here's what I recommend you do. And I sincerely mean this. You take your far leftist friends on a road trip to New York City. All right. I want you to get out into the there's a boat called the Staten Island Ferry. And when you take the Staten Island Ferry, you're going to float by a beautiful, beautiful statue of a woman in robes, and she's holding a tablet in her arm, and in the other, that arm is raised high, and it's got a lamp, Lady Liberty. And I want you to take a good, long, hard look at Lady Liberty and the entire island, because the sea levels in New York Harbor are the same today as they were when they installed Lady Liberty so many years ago, ladies and gentlemen. And that's really all you need to know about climate change. Nothing's changed. Same sea levels. So we're good. So to all of you folks out there in the Earth Day world, you've got the, they're telling you, what is it, AOC, we've got to stop eating cheeseburgers. And what is it that AOC, the argument about cheeseburgers, we've got to get rid of the cows. And why is that? Because the cows were eating all this grass, and then they were having these gassy emissions, and therefore the cows were blowing holes in the ozone. But I would contend, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the cows. It's these modern-day vegans out there. They have the exact same diet that the cows have. And I'm telling you right now, nobody wants to be downwind from a gassy vegan. I'm just telling you, nobody wants to be there. And maybe, just maybe, having all these people in America that are vegans, maybe that's the problem. Maybe they're the ones blowing holes in the ozone. By the way, during the break, we're going to go outside and spray giant, supersized industrial cans of Aquanet into the air just to celebrate Earth Day. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, how are you, the fine people of the Todd Stearns Radio Show, celebrating Earth Day? We are going to give you bonus points if you call in and rev your Ford F-150 engines on the air. We will do that. Dylan is standing by. All right, we've got a lot to talk about today. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. In the meantime, to commemorate Earth Day, our good buddy, our good pal, Paul Shanklin, sent this blast from the past.
Born free as the wind blows, as free as the grass grows, born free to follow your heart. Live free and beauty surrounds you, the world still astounds you. Stay free.
Sing along, America.
When no walls divide you, you're free as a roaring tide, so there's no need to hide.
Oh, the humanity.
I'm free.
Oh, that's good.
Life
Lego Marsh
is worth living. But only worth living, 'cause you're born free. You're free as a roaring tide, so there's no need to hide.
A big finish, America.
Free, life is worth living.
I can't hear you, Texas.
But only worth living, 'cause you're
been filmed in Memphis. Are you tired of destructive content flooding your screens? Well, I know I was, and that's why I joined the Angel Guild community. I wanted entertainment that inspires and uplifts, not drags us down. And with Angel Guild, I can vote on upcoming films and support movies that reflect values that I align with. Plus, I get early access to inspiring content. I no longer have Hollywood Entertainment pushing its agenda into my home. Angel Studios is leading the charge, creating high-quality, faith-filled films like Sound of Freedom, Cabrini, and my favorite, Homestead. Great movie, great series, by the way. These movies are powerful, impactful, and a must-see if you haven't already. If you want to make a real difference, where we put our dollars shapes the future of entertainment. So let's support content that amplifies light and protects our kids from harmful influences. Please join me in making a difference today. Visit angel.com/starns. That's angel.com/starns to join the Angel Guild now. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Revving again there, Dylan. Welcome back, everybody. Now, that sounds like a Lamborghini.
It's parked out back.
Oh, gotcha. All right. That was Dieter's Lamborghini. We gave him a raise last year.
Yeah.
So, welcome back on this Earth Day. By the way, I just want to point out some things here. You might remember this was Al Gore back in 2006, and he predicted the global sea level would rise as much as 20 feet in the near future. That was almost 20 years ago, and that, again, did not come true. In 2009, Al Gore predicted there was a 75% chance the entire North Polar ice cap would be completely ice-free within the next 5 to 7 years. That was, again, in 2009, and the ice cap is still intact, so don't lose any sleep over that. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926, David in Collierville, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, KWAM. Hi, David, what's going on?
Good morning, Todd. Yeah, I don't really believe in the global climate change because both of my vehicles are diesel, so. But here's...
There you go.
But here's the thought for you. If you follow the science world, they say the polar magnetics has changed. The magnetic north has moved down into the middle somewhere. I kind of have a feeling that if the magnetics are going to change and how things are pulled, that's going to affect climate. It's not what we're doing. It's what the magnetic earth poles are doing.
You know, David, I do wonder about what's ultimately behind all of this, because the idea is that man controls what happens on planet Earth. And I never have believed that, because that makes man more powerful than God, who created everything.
And I agree with you on that. God controls the world. So, and what we do in our destinies. But I think that the magnetic poles shifting, you know, they're going to cause the winds and stuff to change a little bit. So,
And that may very well be the case, but I don't think that's because of anything that man is doing. This is part of, you know, whatever God set in motion after Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. So, yeah, it's a fair point. And David, I appreciate the call. And that doesn't mean, look, God also says we got to be good stewards. That means you don't go drive down the, you know, the highway and throw your Dr. Pepper cans out the window, right? So we got to be good stewards. We've got to be conservationist. And that is a good thing. That is a noble thing. But this idea that mankind could destroy planet Earth, Nope, that's God created Earth. Let's go to Clear Lake City, Texas. Mike is listening to us on Patriot Talk 920 in Houston. Hi, Mike. What's going on?
Hello. Hello. I really would like to comment on the Earth Day stuff, but I had another point to make.
We'll make it a twofer for you, Mike. Go ahead.
Well, the advertisements you have on your commercial breaks about your books, you know, can the Republic be saved? My answer to that is no. And I have a secular and spiritual reason for it. The secular is the left controls all the powers of influence, the media, education, the entertainment industry. And that's what's influencing the younger generation. As we die off, they're going to replace us, and they will win through attrition. It's inevitable.
Mike, I hear, let me ask you this, though. Do you think, though, I mean, if we had like an immediate intervention, and that's really what I see the Trump administration as being, an intervention in the course of the natural course of the country. Do you think it's possible, though, that the country could be saved, the Republic could be saved?
Well, anything's possible, but you have to look at it, too, from the time that the Department of Education was created. That's what's been the focus of education, is dumbing each and every generation down. And it's taken them, what, almost 45 years to get to where we're at now? You know, it would have to be immediate, because we don't have 45 years to turn this ship around. It has to be something drastic.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And the book you were talking about, it was my latest book called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And I sat down with President Trump, flew down to Mar-a-Lago, and we had a good long conversation. And I really do believe that the president has a plan to stop America's path down the road you just described. You know, when you look at Pope Francis, yesterday, everybody mourning Pope Francis, the reality is that man was very dangerous. He was a communist, and he nearly destroyed the Catholic Church. But in spite of all of that, you still have this massive revival among Catholic young people who are yearning for the tradition. They're going back to the church. Many Christian young men are reading their Bibles across this nation now. So there are hopeful moments. And so I don't believe all is lost. But, Mike, I hear what you're saying. And my book really was a warning cry to the nation. Yes, America can be saved. The question is, what are we going to do about it? I mean, that's really the broader question, is what are we going to do about it? And so that's one of the things, Mike, and I know that you guys are pretty new to the show. That's one of the things we talk about quite a bit on this program, is how to fix what is broken.
Well, I have no doubt that President Trump has a plan to fix it, but like you were saying the other day, look at the trouble that Pete Hegseth is going through at the Pentagon. I mean, the bureaucracy is so corrupt, so deep, so vast, that everything is against, you know, the Trump appointee, which brings me to my second point. Take China, Iran, and Russia. Those are the three geographic locations that come against Israel in the book of Revelation. No nation comes to Israel's defense. If America is Israel's one and only true ally, and no nation comes to her defense at that time, that can only mean that America as a superpower no longer exists. And given like the Tesla vandalism, that's global. Transgenderism is global. All this stuff is global. And so I would say that we're on the precipice of the sand in the hourglass running out.
Mike, time will tell, and time will answer that question. Unfortunately, I'm out of time, so we've got to take a quick break here, Mike. But I appreciate your thoughts, and you've given us a lot to think about. All right, hang tight, everybody. Coming back, but first, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, a major case that could decide whether you have control over your kids. It's unbelievable. We'll talk about it coming up next. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was... We needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed, only $59.98. King size sheets, $69.98. and they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard My Pillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com. Promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506. And welcome back to the Todd STARNS Radio Show. It is a celebration, and we're having a good time today, folks. Hope you're doing well wherever you might be. So there is a very interesting case that's being heard at this very hour at the Supreme Court, and it involves all of you moms and dads out there. And I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on this. This controversy could impact every single parent in America. That is the magnitude of this case we're talking about. And what I find fascinating about the case is it's actually uniting people of all religious backgrounds. So you've got Christians, Jews, and Muslims, all parents that are fighting Montgomery County, Maryland. Now, the school district there has been teaching, like most public schools in America, they've been teaching LGBT propaganda. And look, how you control your life, what you do with your life is your business. I just have a problem when you try to cram it down, you force it down on the children. That's the problem I have. Keep it out of the classroom. Why should our tax dollars be used to teach LGBT ideology and curriculum? I mean, if that's really what they want, they should start their own private schools. And you could have got, I don't know, lesbian high school, transgender central. But you know what? You're paying for that and not our private tax dollars. I mean, come on. So here's the lawsuit. Should parents have a right to opt their kids out of school curriculum that pushes extreme ideology regarding gender and sex? So we're talking about, and by the way, the lessons were meant for children as young as 3 and 4 years old. And they were teaching the 3 and 4 year olds gender transition, pride parades, and pronoun preference. Those were the lessons that they were using to teach and target these children. So the parents had a problem with it. And by the way, it's not just a handful of parents. Over 1,000 parents turned out at a school board meeting. Do you understand the magnitude of that? 1,000 parents showing up at a school board meeting, and they're saying, we don't want you teaching little Billy that he could come home and be little Sally. We don't want that. So the school board initially said, you know what, we get it. Okay, you are allowed, mom and dad, to opt your kid out of these gender transition classes. I mean, can you imagine little Johnny coming home from school one day, 4 years old?
Mommy, I feel like a girl. I want to whack off my wee-wee.
That's what the parents were dealing with. And nobody needs to be whacking off anybody's wee-wee. I think we can all agree with that. So anyway, the school, they eventually reversed the policy. And here's why. They said, we've got far too many parents that are wanting their kids to opt out of all of this. So it seems to me at that moment, the school should have stepped back and said, you know, wait a second. Wait just a second here. If 99% of the parents are enraged over this and they're upset over this, maybe we're in the wrong here. But they didn't do that. And I want to explain why. Because this is not about letting parents opt out. This is about forcing an ideology on these innocent children. That's the only thing this is about. The only thing. So the school said, you know what? We're just going to require this. Parents will not be able to pull their kids out of transgender gender transition class. And that brought about this Supreme Court lawsuit. And at this hour, you have attorneys representing all of these parents, and they're hoping at the end of the day that parents will be able to maintain their rights. Cut number 16.
Religious parents in Montgomery County, Maryland, including Muslims, Jews, and Christians, are fighting for the right to know what books teachers are reading to their kids in elementary school. In 2022, their school board introduced storybooks on sensitive topics such as pride parades, gender transitioning, and pronoun preferences. Teachers, for example, are told to tell kids that doctors guessed at their sex at birth. Parents were initially told they'd be notified and could opt their kids out when the books would be read, but then the school board went back on its word. A coalition of religious parents sued. They're not trying to ban the books or change the curriculum. They just want to know when the books are read so their kids can be excused. By excluding parents, the school board is violating its own policies, Maryland law, and years of Supreme Court precedent. Beckett is defending their right to have a say in educating their own kids.
And it seems to me that is the reasonable approach here, right? Is that parents should have the right to decide what is best for their children. Now, what you're about to hear is one of the attorneys from the Beckett Fund. They're representing the parents. They made this argument before the Supreme Court today.
The board came out and said, we're changing the rule because we want all students to be instructed on inclusivity. That's at 547 in the appendix. That emphasis on all students have to receive this instruction. Nothing about administrability. And then from there on, even then they said, if we've already told you you can opt out, we'll let you do that, but more parents can't ask. And then it wasn't until later in the year when they actually revised their guidelines, which still allow certain religious opt-outs and just not others. So this was clearly targeted at religious parents objecting.
But then complaints were raised, right?
That's right. Hundreds of parents complained. These were mostly, according to the news articles, mostly families from Muslim faith and Ethiopian Orthodox who were objecting when they spoke to the board. The board accused them of using their religious beliefs as another reason to hate, accused a young Muslim girl of parroting her parents' dogma, and then accused the parents of aligning with racist xenophobes and white supremacists. And so, again, there's no question in this case that there is a burden, that it was imposed with animosity, and that it's discriminating against our clients because of their religious beliefs.
So here's the question. Should parents be able to opt their kids out of these lessons? Because the Supreme Court, in deciding this case, and I'm glad they decided to hear this case, in deciding this case, they will determine whether or not parents still have rights in this country. You see, the broader message of the LGBT movement, I'm talking about the radical activists. I'm not talking about the everyday folks who just want to live their lives and be left alone. And you're afforded that right under the Constitution. I'll fight for that right for you. But there are activists out there. I will tell you, Black Lives Matter as well. They're part of their ideology was the literal. I'm not talking about mythological. I'm not talking about figurative. I'm talking about the literal destruction of the American family unit. You see, what makes America strong, what makes any nation strong, is the family unit. But these organizations out there, radicals all, they want to destroy the family unit. That's what's happening here. And that's why you've had so many of these lawmakers that when they've been talking about this LGBT stuff, and it's predominantly the transgender movement. And the transgender folks, you've heard the lawmakers say, I will be your mommy. I will be your daddy. So if your parents don't respect you, if your parents don't approve of what you're doing, you come to us and we will be mommy. We will be daddy. It's disgusting, but that's ultimately what's going on here. I mean, look at what's happening in Colorado right now where they are on the verge of signing a law that would rip transgender kids away from mommy and daddy. Mommy and daddy in a custody dispute, and one of the parents does not support the transgender stuff, guess what? You lose custody. So this is a very clear and present danger to the American family unit here. But I'm just curious, do you believe that parents should have a right to opt their kids out of lessons that they have a religious objection to? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, listen up. This could be the result of asbestos exposure, and you could be entitled to significant compensation. Call us at 800-260-8700. That's 800-260-8700. To find out if you qualify for a cash settlement, we have legal professionals standing by right now to take your call, and they'll tell you if you qualify. The call is free. The consultation is free, and you'll speak with a live agent right now. So if you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, call right now to find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-260-8700. That's 800-260-8700 to see how much money you could potentially get. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
All right, welcome back. Michelle said, Todd, my parents had to sign a permission slip so I could be included in sex education classes. Nothing was explicit. Anybody remember the sex ed classes back in the 70s and 80s? I mean, those things put the fear of God in you. And I mean, there was a not so subtle threat that if you have sex before marriage, you're going to get some sort of a god-awful STD, and your private parts are going to fall off. And you know what? For the most part, everybody behaved themselves back in the day. I mean, there were a few moments in the movie theater and the back of the Oldsmobile, but by and large, I mean, everybody bought into the putting the fear of the Lord in kids. David said, those who are trying to teach this stuff to children are not teachers. They are predators. Vicky says parents should absolutely have the right to opt their children out of morally questionable classes. James says, tried before, it was called segregation. Will they be allowed? Will they be made to sit in the back of a bus? I don't know. I don't see the segregation comparison, but may have to work on that idea just a little bit more. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This story out of Kansas City, Missouri, the YMCA, which used to stand for Young Men's Christian Association, but now there's some really freaky stuff going on in the locker rooms at the YMCA, especially in Kansas City. Take a listen.
It was less than 10 days ago when a Metro mother and her daughter had finished up swimming lessons where she says hundreds of children attended. They went to the women's locker room to change. That's when she says she heard a man's voice. She then decided to leave. But as she and her child walked out of the stall, they encountered a naked man, his privates on full display. She asked what in the world he was doing. The woman claims he said something to the effect of, quote, honey, I'm a woman. She and her child then sprinted out of the locker room. That woman spoke to Fox 4 on Monday, and she says they were not the only ones who saw.
My 11-year-old does use that locker room, especially after we go to the pool. And in there, you either have the closed-down showers or you kind of try to change as quickly as possible. So it's definitely shocking and something that we'll be looking out for a little bit more.
The YMCA tells Fox 4 it's investigating the matter, saying in part, we follow all state and local laws and individuals are allowed to use the locker room or restroom that they identify with. At the North Kansas City YMCA, we also have four private universal changing rooms available, separate from the larger shared locker rooms, for anyone who prefers the privacy they offer. The police department says they are investigating a report of indecent exposure that occurred on April 12, 2025 at the YMCA located in North Kansas City, but further details were not shared.
Honey, I'm a woman. Hear me roar. Let me tell you something. That ain't no woman. That's a pervert. That's a predator. That's who that is. So a couple of thoughts here. I will say this, and I don't mean to speak for all Southern, for all Southerners out there, and especially Southern ladies. But I have to imagine that if this happened in a Southern YMCA, that guy would be missing a very important appendage. That's how the ladies of the South would take care of that kind of a situation. That or they carry around a cast iron skillet in their purse. Either way, the problem gets resolved. Look, this is, I wish I could tell you this is an isolated incident, but it is not. I mean, this is the result of policies that the YMCA has, that allow these men to roam around in the women's locker rooms. And I appreciate the fact that the police are investigating this, but again, if that's the policy of the YMCA, and you heard the reporter say, well, if the women had a problem, they should have used a private dressing room. Why would they have a problem? It's the women's dressing room. This makes absolutely no sense. So anyway, we'll see how this plays out. But the YMCA says the person that's in the wrong here are the mom and her 7-year-old daughter. But this is the reality of America under the transgender regime, is that at the end of the day, they have all the rights and you have no rights. I mean, it really is that simple. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. What would you do? Mom, Dad, what would you do if that was your daughter in that locker room? 901-260-5926. William, Moorhead City, North Carolina, wants to weigh in on the school situation. Hi, William, what's on your mind?
Hello, Todd, from one despicable American to another. This is very, very simple. Very simple, in fact. Don't opt out. Simply take your children out of the public system. And as you do that, take your, here in my county, in North Carolina, 67% of my taxes pay for public education. Although I have no children in the public system, I do care about what they're being taught. And so it seems to me that if I pay for something, I should be able to have some control over what I'm paying for. So my thought is, how about I take that 67% of what I pay in property to have somebody indoctrinate young people the way I would not care to have my taxpayer dollars spent, and let's take that out. Okay?
You know, William, here's where I'm going, and I'm slowly getting to this point. And I understand that a lot of parents may not be able to afford to take their kids out of the taxpayer funded school system and get them into a private school. I get that, but there was a time in this country where parents were responsible for educating their own kids. And it just seems to me that maybe society at large, and I don't think society is anywhere near this point, that we need to get back to how we used to educate kids in this country, because we've got a couple of really stupid generations of American kids. And I would be willing to throw my own generation into that mix. I mean, when you look at some of the final exams that eighth graders had to take back in the 1920s and 30s, William, there's no way that anybody alive today would be able to answer those questions. And that just tells me that we have seen a dumbing down of society over the years. And that is a nefarious thing, because as we have said on this program many times in the past, a stupid society, a dumbed down society, is easier to control. And that is right out of the Marxist handbook. William, gotta run, my friend. Great hearing from you. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Now, I want to have a chat real quick before we go to break. Again, we have got a jam-packed show today. We are in the early stages of the pre-orders for my new book. And look, I was talking to my publisher just a couple of nights ago. Things are looking great. A lot of you folks have already pre-ordered, and I say thank you for that. One of the big challenges, because of all of the shortages, and a lot of this has to do with paper shortages, they've got to know how many books to get out there and guesstimate for opening week. Last time my book came out, we sold out nationwide on day one. We don't want that to happen again. Well, we do want it to happen, but we want to make sure there are plenty of books. And one of the ways we can do that is for you to pre-order a copy right now of Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. You can get a copy pre-order at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever you buy your books. So during the break, head over to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and be sure to order a couple of copies of Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, hour two of the big show. And I trust you are doing well today. On Earth Day, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that's how we're celebrating. I'm not sure how you are celebrating, but you know, it was a huge deal back when Barack Hussein Obama and Joe Biden were in office. Nowadays, not so much. So look, Barbara Lee out of Oakland, California, now the new mayor, she just won the mayor's race, the former congresswoman, and she is a radical leftist. And Barbara Lee is laying out a plan to raise the minimum wage in Oakland, California, a city, by the way, that has been decimated with crime. Here's how bad it is in Oakland, California. It was so bad that In-N-Out had to close up their hamburger joints. Now, In-N-Out is sort of like to the burger what Chick-fil-A is to chicken. It's like the official burger of the Lord. And people love In-N-Out burgers, but it was so dangerous in Oakland, California, they had to literally shut down the In-N-Out burgers. People are leaving that city in droves. So Barbara now believes that the answer here is to raise the minimum wage. Barbara Lee says we've got to raise the minimum wage, and she says that the minimum wage should be raised to $50 an hour. Cut 15.
You're calling for a $50 an hour federal minimum wage. That's seven times the current national minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. Can you explain how that would be economically sustainable for small businesses? You have 60 seconds.
First, let me say I owned and ran a small business for 11 years. I created hundreds of jobs. Benefits, retirement benefits, also health care benefits. I know what worker productivity means, and that means that you have to make sure that your employees are taken care of and have a living wage. In the Bay Area, I believe it was the United Way, came out with a report that very recently, $127,000 for a family of four is just barely enough to get by. Another survey very recently, $104,000 for a family of one, barely enough to get by, low income because of the affordability crisis. And so just do the math. Just do the math. Of course, we have national minimum wages that we need to raise to a living wage. You're talking about $20, $25, fine. But I have got to be focused on what California needs.
Okay. Barbara Lee says we got to do the math here, and that all of you small business owners out there can afford to pay your workers a $50 an hour minimum wage. I will tell you, if I had to do that, well, I would be a one-person shop. There's no way humanly possible that small business owners can afford to pay their staff a $50 minimum wage, a $50 an hour minimum wage. So I went back, and you might recall it wasn't that long ago that California instituted the mandatory $20 minimum wage hike for fast food workers. So if you're going to McDonald's and you find a McDonald's fast food worker, that person is making at the bare minimum $20 an hour. As a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, now if you believe the Democrats, you would think that, man, everybody's living high on the hog. But it turns out that Milton Friedman was correct, because Milton Friedman once said that minimum wage laws increase unemployment. And the groups that will be hurt the most are the low-paid and the unskilled. Consider this analysis from Cato.org. In California, they raise the minimum wage from $16 an hour to $20 an hour for fast food workers, signed into law in 2023, went into effect in April of 2024. So we're looking at an entire year now. And how did things turn out? We're talking about coffee shops. We're talking about juice bars. We're talking about McDonald's, Wendy's, Jersey Mike's, Del Taco, Pizza Hut. And yes, the official chicken of our Lord and Savior Jesus, Chick-fil-A. It turns out the wage hike has killed well over 6,000 fast food jobs between 2023 and 2024. This is insane. Between 2023 and 2024 of September, there were nearly 10,000 job losses. The Employment Policies Institute reports that total private sector fast food employment nationwide grew 1.6%, but it declined in California by 1.1%, and that decline was steeper than statewide private employment. So what does that tell us? It tells us that if you don't have the money, you can't pay the workers. I mean, it really is that simple. And if you can't pay the workers, then you go to the unemployment line. And that's what's happening in Oakland, California. So $50 an hour minimum wage, ladies and gentlemen, it'll destroy the entire state of California. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I want to play some audio here. This is from Nancy Mace. So she was confronted in a female makeup store by this guy with a lisp wearing Daisy Dukes. Now, Nancy Mace suggested that this guy was gay. The guy says he's not gay. He just likes to wear makeup and Daisy Dukes, and he talks with a lisp. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you do you. But anyway, he was acting the fool, and he went after Nancy Mace and was filming her and screaming at her and all this kind of stuff, and was using very foul language. And so Nancy Mace decided to use foul language right back. The congresswoman from South Carolina, she is a former Waffle House waitress, so she basically invoked her inner scatter covered and smothered. And she went after this guy, and he got very offended. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? I'm a man. You don't talk to a man like that. Well, she did. So anyway, she was on Hannity last night, and here's what she had to say about all of that.
Well, he started up on me prior to this, and I fumbled. I tried to get my phone out as quick as I could, but I had a bag, and I tried to pull it out fast and start recording as much as I could. I've decided that I'm going to start recording these people in public. I probably don't have enough iPhone space on my phone, but I deal with this stuff day in and day out. This was the third incident I had last week alone. And the week before that, there was a man in Pennsylvania who was arrested from Butler, Pennsylvania, that threatened the president, President Trump. I was the only member of Congress. He threatened to put a bullet in my skull. Most of this stems from my position about protecting women and girls in private spaces. And inherently, as a woman, when a man like this comes up to me and is aggressive in public or private, inherently, I'm going to fight back. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to be a strong woman because I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. Men like this, it's not okay. This kind of aggression is going to get someone hurt or worse. And it's not something I condone. I'll stand up and fight for every woman and girl everywhere.
Yeah, well, good for you, Nancy Mace. Look, I got no problem with this. You're going to get up in the face of a female lawmaker in public like that. Yeah, you get what's coming. You get what's coming at you. By the way, there was another incident, and Dieter, let's try to find this. Well, one of the trans, she got accosted by another trans dude, and then this guy like drops down into his real voice, right? And so we'll try to find that audio. It was really crazy. How dare you? How dare you? I'm a woman. Don't mess with me. I'm like, holy cow. Jeez, hello. But anyway, this guy in the Ulta makeup store, the ladies' makeup store, the guy in the Daisy Dukes with the lisp, who says he's not gay, not that there's anything wrong with that, the guy says he's the victim in all of this. He said that he has a right to confront Nancy Mace and demand answers in a public place. I would sincerely disagree with that. I was just going to find concealer. I just wanted my concealer and my hair products, and there she was. So I just had to say something. Her policies were riding up on me like my Daisy Dukes. All right, but again, I just think that we need a little bit of decorum in America. And if you're, you know, again, a lawmaker, you deserve a little bit of privacy when you're in a ladies' makeup store. I'm just saying. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. You know, it just seems to me, though, Dylan and Dieter, if you're walking around in the Daisy Dukes, those have to be uncomfortable if you're a guy. You know what I mean? I mean, they're riding up, and then you got to, if you're not, like, outside all the time, and you do wear them, your legs are, like, pasty white. I don't think anybody wants to see that. Maybe it's just me. All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. So I got a message from somebody down in Houston, and they said, Stearns, we missed you at the opening of the Trump Burger Joint, and I wish I could have been down there. I'll tell you this much. When I do the book tour later this summer, we'll do our best to get down to Houston, and we'll try to. I will definitely try a Trump burger. But I am curious. I know our good friends at Patriot Talk 920. They had a huge event there this weekend. The brand new opening of a, and I mean it really is for those of you who may not know. I mean this is a Trump themed hamburger joint. Give us a call. I'd like to know how it went. If any of our Houston listeners were there, I understand folks had a blast, and they tell me the burgers are, dare I say, huge and very delicious. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, by the way, just got word that the big sign in Pensacola, Florida, and that's the area of America we know as the Redneck Riviera, they've officially changed their sign to promote the Gulf of America. I just love this country. I love Trump's version of America. It really is the golden era. All right. At this hour, police are now moving in on a bunch of thugs that are attacking the Tesla dealership in New York City. They're spray painting the windows, causing all sorts of vandalism. NYPD moving in and taking care of business as they should. And honestly, the MPD NYPD ought to make it as painful as possible for these thugs. Meanwhile, in Minneapolis, and this is not surprising, the far-left district attorney, her name is Mary Moriarty, and she is under fire because she refused to charge a Minnesota government employee who caused $20,000 in damages to a bunch of Teslas. Police provided evidence of 33-year-old Dylan Bryan Adams committed multiple felonies, but the DA's office will not charge him. The police chief said in a quote, this is Police Chief Brian O'Hara of the Minneapolis PD, The Minneapolis Police Department did its job. It identified and investigated a crime, identified and arrested a suspect, and presented a case to file in the Hennepin County Attorney's Office for consideration of charges. This case impacted at least six different individuals, total over $20,000 in damages. Any frustration related to the charging decision of the DA should be directed solely at her office. The chief went on to say our investigators are always frustrated when the cases they poured their hearts into are declined. In my experience, the victims in these cases often feel the same. So nobody got justice here. Nobody. The victims of the crimes, they didn't get justice at all. And the poor police officers are out there. They're doing their jobs. They're arresting the criminals. But the radical DAs are setting them free. You people in Memphis, Tennessee, know all about that. You have a guy in your district attorney's office. His name is Steve Mulroy. And this guy is really the personification of evil. I know he comes across as like a dopey, you know, Star Trek nerd. He dresses up in his Star Trek. I'm not kidding you. He dresses up in his Star Trek uniform and he walks around, you know, town giving people the Vulcan salute. I've never seen anything like it in a grown man. I mean, it's really, really weird. But this guy is of the George Soros school of chaos. And we have, let me put it this way. Since I think over the past 7 days now, we have had as many as 20, maybe even more people shot in Memphis, Tennessee, just in the past week. It's unbelievable. Back-to-back weeks, we've had mass shootings in Memphis, Tennessee. The thugs and the thugettes and the thuglings, and for all of our new listeners in Oklahoma, the thuglings are underage thugs. They're out there literally, you know, racing on the interstates. They're doing the donuts in the middle of the interstate. Nobody does anything about it. And the reason why is, first of all, we're down about 1,000 cops. We're hemorrhaging law enforcement. But the other part of it is the police are not allowed by city leaders to go and apprehend these people. It is a lawless city, Memphis, Tennessee. One of the most beautiful cities in America. One of the kindest, most compassionate cities in America. Somebody actually did a study about Memphis. We have more nonprofits, more charitable work comes out of Memphis, Tennessee than anywhere else in the nation. We are home to some of the finest medical institutions in the country. St. Jude Children's Hospital, Le Bonheur Children's Hospital. You have an incredible medical complex here. That's what we ought to be celebrating, but instead the mayor wants to embrace Glorilla, and nothing wrong with Glorilla. You know, not a fan of her music, but whatever. But the mayor would rather us be known as a city of thugs and thugettes, as opposed to, you know, the generosity, the entrepreneurship. A lot of people don't realize the reason why you have a grocery store you can walk into is because of Memphis, Tennessee. The very first modern grocery store was created here. It was called the Piggly Wiggly. A lot of people don't realize, but you've got the Holiday Inn, which became the standard for hotels across the nation. It was created right here in Memphis. AutoZone, right here in Memphis. FedEx, right here in Memphis. So we have so much to celebrate, but the problem is we have elected Democrats. The Democrats refuse to do anything about the criminal element here. And as a result of that, we are basically Mogadishu of the Mississippi. Doesn't have to be like that, but it is. And the same thing is happening in Minneapolis right now, where you have a district attorney who refuses to do anything about the crime. And as a result, you've got a thug that's been set free. In our estimation, thugs, not black, not white, they come in all different shades and colors. All right, got to take a break here. And by the way, if I'm wrong about this, give me a call. I got 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
the Army, Air Force, Marines. You are up 108% in November, 119% in February, 108% after the election, 105% with the Navy, with the Marines up 112% and 100%, they are through the roof. The U.S. Air Force, 100% of its goal, same thing in February. And Space Force is also booming, over 100%. I think the warfighters are happy to have a warfighter up top. Mr. Secretary, with all this controversy, everything swirling around, have you ever doubted your decision to take this job?
Oh, not for a minute. I didn't hesitate when the president asked me, and I haven't hesitated for a moment, because those numbers are a reflection of why we're here. We call it the Trump bump internally. The reality is when warfighting and lethality is brought back and it's serious, that what we're doing here is serious about getting after soldiering and warfighting, American people want to come back in. They want to sign up. These recruiting numbers don't surprise me. They don't surprise me one bit. They're a reflection of a yearning from the American public, of young people, to be proud of their country, to be proud of their military, to make sure when they serve, they're given everything they need. That's why I've fought for the budget that the Defense Department requires. And the president has said we'll have our first $1 trillion budget, because my kids, my 14-year-old, if he joins, he's going to have a great military. He's going to have peace through strength because of the historic investments of this president. So, no, I haven't blinked, and I won't blink, because this job is too big and too important for the American people, and I'm grateful for every opportunity the president has given me.
All right. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. There you heard Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, on Fox. And look, he's doing great. The reason why they're coming after Hegseth has nothing to do with any of this. It has everything to do with one thing. There are people within the Pentagon, within the deep state, that want war against Iran. That is a driving force. Hegseth is not one of those people. He doesn't believe that is in the best interest of the American people right now. And the reality is there are those who do, and they want him out. They want a war hawk in that Pentagon position. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our good friend. He is a retired U.S. Army colonel, an incredible author, David Giamona. David, hope you're doing good today.
I'm doing well. Always glad to be on the show with you, my friend.
So let's first of all talk about this controversy, because the argument is, well, they're trying to say, oh, Hegseth has no leadership skills. It's mass chaos inside the Pentagon right now. Are you hearing that from your sources in the Pentagon?
Mm-hmm, not at all. The question I would ask the Democrats is this all you got? Because when Lloyd Austin killed 13 of our own and was non-existent in the hospital and non-existent as a leader, I didn't hear any Democrats say, hey, let's fire him.
No, I didn't either. And again, it was radio silent. And Austin, I think, was one of the worst defense secretaries in modern political history.
Absolutely.
Let's take a look, though, at what we can tell people, and that is that Hegseth seems to be doing a heck of a great job, because people are joining up in our volunteer forces.
Oh, absolutely. Recruiting is out the wazoo right now. It's up over 100% in most cases. Hegseth is a leader. He's a stalwart. He is doing an incredible job across the board. And frankly, the Democrats don't want that kind of leadership in the Pentagon. They want a DEI hire that will just do a walk the party line, and they're not getting that. And Trump is never going to release Hegseth. He's doing a heck of a great job. One of the greatest defenses of all time, I think.
Why is it that young people are returning to the military?
Well, you know, as a parent, you know, you look at the military, you know, under the Biden administration, you say, there's no way I'm going to put my son or daughter under that kind of leadership, under that kind of mentorship. But now we have a great leader in the White House. We have Pete Hegseth. We have a warfighter mentality. People are signing up their droves because the parents are saying, yes, we want that kind of discipline and all the benefits that go with it. So, yeah. That's the reason why we're above board. And by the way, you don't hear any legacy media talking about how great the recruiting effort is right now.
No, it's true. You don't. I mean, there's zero reporting on that. There's a report out of Wisconsin. I don't know if you saw this. Fort McCoy and the Army Reserves releasing a statement confirming that Colonel Sheila Baez Ramirez has been suspended from her command. She was, at the time, heralded because she was the first female in more than 100 years to lead the battalion. But apparently, the allegation is that she refused to put up photographs of Trump, Vance, or Pete Hegseth in the base command. They had all the photos up there, but they were empty. And now she's been suspended. This is nuts.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as a commander, you're supposed to be apolitical or non-political. You do what the Pentagon and the Secretary of Defense and the President say to do. And those pictures should have been up there day one. They were on the rest of the Army. So she was sending a message, and rightfully so, she got relieved. And I'm glad for it.
Colonel, we had also seen some reporting that the physical fitness requirements are basically becoming gender neutral now. For the longest time, there was one set of rules for women, another set for men. How do you feel about that?
Well, I grew up and I did 30-plus years. I saw the female requirements. And for certain jobs in the military, that's fine. But for the infantry, the maneuver units, those at the tip of the spear, they're actually in combat, engaged, lifting heavy equipment, heavy requirements. There should be no difference between men and women. If you could do the job, fine. If you can't, do another job in the military. There's plenty of other jobs you can do instead of being on the tip of the spear as a warfighter.
All right. My goodness. It's just really remarkable. And again, going back to the big headline, which you're right, nobody is covering. I just did a quick Google search. Nobody outside of military.com is reporting on the fact that the Army is poised to easily hit its recruiting target for this year. As of last week, the Army had enlisted 51,837 recruits. That's 85% of its 61,000 target for fiscal year 2025. You're an Army veteran. That's got to make you feel great.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I know a lot of people, of course, in the military, their heads are up high. They don't have to worry about DEI initiatives and, you know, all the gender stuff. They all have to do is one thing, their war fighting skills, and that's the way it should be. And that's why recruitment is way up.
All right. How's the book doing?
Everything's great. I just got back from Korea, did a men's conference at Ken Humphreys, had a great time. The book is selling like hotcakes, and it's all about leadership, and it's all about, you know, how to be a man in today's world. So, yeah, it's doing well.
And give us the name of the book and where people can go to get it.
Well, I've got three books out. The first one, The Military Guide to Armageddon, and then the one on deception, and the last one on finding your way or, you know, your appointment with God. What is your assignment? That's, you know, the name of the book. And you can find it all on Amazon.com or anywhere books are sold.
All right. David Giamone, ladies and gentlemen, U.S. Army Colonel, retired author and speaker. Colonel, we always appreciate your great insight.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on today.
All right. Well, there you go. I'm excited by these numbers because for years, under the rule of the far left, the numbers were dismal. As a matter of fact, for many years, we would have lawmakers, veterans coming on the program and warning that they were very concerned about military preparedness, whether we even had enough people to fight a war or deal with something that might happen. Reading from military.com, after missing its recruiting goals in multiple recent years, the Army hit its target last year for the first time since 2021. A fragile success following a decade of downward trends on enlistment numbers. Driving the shortfall is a narrowing pool of eligible recruits. I mean, they were really going after, in all seriousness, they were going after drag queens. They were going after transgender folks. That's where they were trying to recruit from. Pentagon officials estimate just 23% of Americans aged 17 to 24 qualify to serve, citing rising obesity rates, poor performance on the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery. Public school test scores have dropped steadily for years, especially among boys, and that trend was exacerbated by pandemic-era disruptions. But all of that is turning around now. The service introduced the Future Soldiers Preparatory Course, helping applicants meet body fat and academic standards, and have proven to be a recruitment lifeline. Last year, one quarter of Army applicants who otherwise would not have been allowed to enlist attended at least one of the prep courses. So anyway, great news there for the U.S. Army, as it is one of the great success stories of the leadership of Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. But I am curious, ladies and gentlemen, many of you called in over the years and said you would not allow your sons to join the military. What about now? Would you allow your daughter to join the military? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, Newsmax just went public on the New York Stock Exchange, and they are listed on the big board. Millions of Americans like you are joining our news revolution. Reuters, by the way, says Newsmax is one of the top 12 news brands in the country. Even President Trump says it's terrific. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax, audience growing 50% since the same time last year. Millions really are making the switch to Newsmax. And if you want to be a Newsmax share owner, call your advisor, or you can get more information at NewsmaxInvest.com. You can stand with Newsmax today for a strong America. This communication is for informational purposes and shall not be intended to, or shall not constitute an offer to buy or sell securities, nor shall there be any sale of securities in any jurisdiction in which such offer, solicitation, or sale would be unlawful. Okay. A disturbing report from the Internal Revenue Service. The IRS targeting one of the most prominent and respected evangelical churches of the nation. Sources are telling me, ladies and gentlemen, that the First Baptist Church in Dallas and many other evangelical pro-Trump churches were investigated after Dr. Jeffress, by the way, invited Vice President Mike Pence to speak at a patriotic celebration. So they were having a big gathering at the White House a few days ago for Easter, and the president talked about this, and it is a shocking thing that is happening. But it turns out that all of this started back in the final months of the Trump presidency. The Freedom From Religion Foundation filed a complaint and suggested that the church had violated the Johnson Amendment. Now, First Baptist Dallas received no other response until President Biden took office. And that's when we're being told that rogue IRS agents, known supporters of Barack Hussein Obama, B.H. Obama, and Joe Biden, intentionally ordered the investigation of First Baptist Dallas and these other churches. And it's my understanding that First Baptist spent hundreds of thousands of dollars fighting these accusations. Unbelievable. President Trump said that he's going to be looking into this, and we're going to get to the bottom of it, and whoever was responsible, I have no doubt they're going to get the heave-ho. The bigger issue, though, is the Johnson Amendment. And many of you thought, well, wait a second, I thought the Republicans repealed that. No, they have not. The Johnson Amendment is still in effect. And here's the problem with the Johnson Amendment. It's very chilling. They're chilling free speech. And the basic thought here is if they can do that to a powerful, influential church like First Baptist Dallas, Texas, they can do it to anyone. And they can. And they are. And that is a disturbing, disturbing thing. So we're going to stay on top of this, folks. I was talking to Dr. Jeffress just the other night. He confirmed all of this, and it's just really a sad situation, a sad state of affairs in America right now. But we got to get to the bottom of it and root out all of this stuff. Speaking of those godless heathen atheists out of Wisconsin, they're coming after you people in Oklahoma. So there is a resolution that was passed by the Oklahoma House of Representatives last week. It's called the Christ is King Resolution. I like this. The resolution, described as a bold testament to Oklahoma's faith-based legacy. State Representative Jim Olson writing, "We honor the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and reaffirm the principles that guide our state. I'm proud to lead this effort to declare Christ is King and call upon the help of the Supreme Judge of the world." Well, that triggered the atheist in Oklahoma, and I guess there may be one or two atheists in your state. I don't know. It's sort of a shock. I just assumed everybody there was a Christian in Oklahoma. Reverend Adam Young writing in the Daily Oklahoman, and I hear that's a far-left publication. We're going to have to get some intel from our new Oklahoma listeners here. But the Daily Oklahoman published a guest column, and here's what the guy wrote. "This resolution is unconstitutional, anti-democratic, and theologically misguided. What was once a theological truth becomes a civil decree, and in doing so, the government steps into the dangerous territory of Christian nationalism." Young pointed out that Jesus never crowned himself king. That preacher needs to go read his Bible. But I will say this. I believe that we are one nation under God and that we are a Christian nation. We were meant to be a Christian nation. Does that mean we are a perfect nation? No, it does not. But under the precepts and teachings of the Holy Bible, we are able to enjoy this beautiful republic. And people have free will. They can go to church. They don't have to go to church. They can be a beautiful, godly Christian person, or they could be an ugly, godless heathen atheist. I mean, it's your choice. It really is. So I say this to the good people of Oklahoma. Well done, you. And good for you, Republicans there in the Oklahoma State House. Oh, by the way, the Democrats in Oklahoma are very upset about this as well. They find great offense at all of this. So there you go. We'll keep you updated on that. All right, folks, don't forget, during the break, head over to your favorite bookstore and get yourself a pre-ordered copy of the brand new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. It is filled with great stories, very little known stories, by the way, of how God used some of the most unlikely people to advance his work in our nation. Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots, co-written by my dear, dear friend, Michelle Cox. You're going to love it. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour 3 of The Big Show coming up next.